You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
What if I told you that there's two giants controlling half of the U.S. housing market and that privatizing them could unlock millions of dollars in opportunities for you as an investor?
Hello, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy.
Together we make the Kitty Sisters.
We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Sound like a real estate thriller, right? Well, today we're going to dive into the world of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to uncover how their privatization could change the game for multifamily investors like you. So who are these two mysterious wizards? So here's our roadmap. In this episode, we're going to dive into what they are, why it matters, and how their privatization could open up doors for multifamily investors. So what are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? First of all, they're not people. Most of you guys know that. If you guys were pitching two guys in a suit with a calculator, stop it. That's not them. Maybe a friend of ours for who we call the human calculator. But if you're watching or listening to this, shout out to you, Nelson. So Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they're actually government sponsor enterprises or GSEs. They live between a mixture of private companies with a government backing. So they don't lend money directly to you or me or our companies, but instead they buy mortgages from banks or other lending institutions, and then they bundle them into securities and they sell them to investors. This keeps money flowing to the housing market right now. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they back about half of the U.S. mortgage market. That's about $5 trillion of loans. And they're major players in both single-family and multifamily housing. And they've been around for decades. In fact, prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the go-to lending source for multifamily loans were Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans. And unfortunately, right at the creme of the crisis, because they would probably have PTSD from the 2008 crisis, they really tightened up their loan criteria. Once Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac stepped out of the picture, for the most part, bridge lenders stepped in. And while it was a great idea at the time, no one would have been able to foresee how high the interest rate would have climbed in the next couple of years since then, which made bridge loan really not a great or viable option for multifamily loans or multifamily properties. So in my opinion, given how little foreclosure or distress we've seen today in 2024 for multifamily sector, I think it's proof that had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac stayed in the game and had fixed debt products available for multifamily investors, a lot of the deals that are being foreclosed on or are in difficult scenarios, having low to no cash flow, wouldn't have had that kind of experience. Because if we were in fixed debt loans, no matter how high the interest rate rises, we wouldn't have been impacted because the loan would have stayed at whatever the rate was at the time of the purchase. A lot of these loans would have been probably mid 3% interest rate would have been significantly higher in cash flow at that point. So enough of going on that tangent. Let's go back to the subject at hand. So Freddie Mae, Fannie Mac, they've been around for decades, but here's the plot twist in 2008. You can't talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac without mentioning 2008 at all. Back then, these two were the life of the party, buying up all these loans like it was a Black Friday deal. But when the housing bubble burst, they were actually left with $187 billion of a mess. The government had to step in with a massive bailout. And since then, Fannie and Freddie, they've been stuck in this conservatorship. So what is a conservatorship? So think of it as a fancy way of saying that they can't make their own decision, kind of like what Britney Spears went through. Now, experts think that it's time to cut the cord and let them go private again. Sort of like free Fannie, free Freddie. So let's talk about more housing less drama. Fannie and Freddie have kept the housing market stable for a year, but they've done very little with new housing construction. Therefore, we're stuck in the cycle where demand keeps rising, but supply just can't catch up. Here's a very interesting phenomenon experienced in the multifamily sector in 2024. In Q3 of 2024, net absorption, meaning new products in multifamily construction, comes online and it's rented out. So net absorption of multifamily units reached 153,300. That's the second highest level in nearly 40 years. So this surge was driven by strong rental demand, and the delivery of over 1 million units in the past 2 years is still not enough. The scary part? The construction pipeline is slowing down. Although there's about 440,000 units expected to be delivered within the 2024 calendar year, future completions of projects are declining significantly. Some of the contributing factors for this are loan costs and regulatory burden. And us having started a new construction project with our BTR project north of Dallas, we experienced the loan negotiation project firsthand in the last 12 months. And we've seen how tough the negotiation has gotten, how the criteria and the getting a loan done became much more difficult than previous years. So how can privatizing Fannie and Freddie change all of this? So imagine if you can directly get funding for multifamily projects through them or through deal loans that are backed by them. Developers could get cheaper loans to build new apartments. And this means that more housing for renters. Cheaper money, bigger profits. So building more housing is great, but let's talk about the financing part. So right now, developers struggle with affordability on loans. Right? Construction loans right now are probably around anywhere between 6.5% to 7%. And it was higher than this at the peak of the 2012-2013, which made it much more expensive to build at that time. And there were a lot of projects that were abandoned. So therefore, privatization could open a new way to fund these projects. Fannie and Freddie could even experiment with cheaper, more flexible lending models. This could help smaller developers compete with the big players. For multifamily investors, it just means that we'll have more deals available to us. So why does this matter? Understanding Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's future is essential to the multifamily investor sector. A second Trump administration will likely reignite an effort to privatize these two housing giants. So this isn't just a possibility. This isn't just some like pipe dreams, guys. Like, it actually was already in motion prior to the 2020 COVID pandemic, which basically crushed it. So the focus was just not on that anymore. So now that with the housing crisis still here, and there's still housing markets that are facing a lot of pressures in terms of supply to meet the demand, this scenario seems more probable than ever. And there's talks about the new administration really getting this started within the first year. But there's potential catch as well that we need to be aware of. Rent control mandates could tie up new construction loans or multifamily financing. And this may make it so that it's not attractive to actually borrow Fannie or Freddie loans if this kind of like rent control mandate is implemented. And this can be seen in New York City, where loans were tied to rent control mandates. And you can see that some of the buildings were just not viable because you can't get loans without having a rent control mandate in place. But with that rent control mandate, it didn't make it profitable for a landlord to actually lease out these units. So either you lose money or you leave these older apartments in dilapidated states so that you become categorized as a slumlord. And so no one wants to do that. In fact, a lot of the units that should be available, should be online in New York City, is now vacant because they chose to just park their building and not touch it because renting it out has just become much more difficult. So I think like overall having a rent control mandate would be a really bad scenario for both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And even though the Biden administration didn't take the baton over with that, you know, like agenda from the first Trump administration, had the Harris regime been in place, I think even any push for this to be reality would have been tied definitely to a rent control mandate, which would be very difficult for us to make sense. So if you had rent control mandates, these restrictions would limit the flexibility that privatization would have been helping, right? So the one thing is that the sooner the privatization happened is probably for the best, because this may help shield Fannie and Freddie from future politicization to ensure that they become or still maintain their viability as pillars of the real estate market. And so for multifamily investors, this means greater stability, fewer political roadblocks, and more opportunities. When and how it's going to happen, or if it's going to happen at all, that's something to be seen in the next few months once the Trump administration is in place. But we're hearing those whispers now. So hopefully this is something that gets passed and benefits new construction in the multifamily sector for all of us.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.